You are listening to Babies, Balance, and Bliss, a podcast about parenting from the perspective of Black mothers. We are figuring out how to raise brilliant babies, find balance in our lives, and appreciate every single moment of bliss.
Welcome to Babies, Balance, and Bliss. I am Lola Wells, and my husband, Martin, and I are raising a toddler, Mila.
And I am Shannon Fowler. My husband, Xavier, and I are raising three girls, teenagers, Kennedy and Caitlin, and Karina, who is elementary aged.
If you have ever had a not-so-great mama moment in front of your family, this episode of Babies, Balance, and Bliss is for you. We are discussing how to recover from those moments where we low-key lose it. But before we delve into our episode, let's start off with our shining, struggling, or somewhere in between segment, where we fill you in on what has been going on with us. Shannon, how are you, friend?
This week, I'm somewhere in between. We're now up to 3,100 COVID-19 cases in my area, which is a lot considering the size of this small suburban city. And it just feels like this pandemic is never ending. And no matter what happens, people just aren't taking it seriously. I feel like it keeps getting worse and worse and worse because we have so many people who just refuse to wear face masks or shields or even to social distance. And it's a big point of concern for me because I understand that when our hospitals are overwhelmed, that means people with potentially fatal but treatable issues unrelated to COVID-19 are at a higher risk of not being able to get treatment as quickly due to the lack of beds, equipment, etc. It's the snowball effect for me. And I really just cannot wait until we are over this mountain of a disease so we can all go out and enjoy life the way we want to without fear. How are you this week, Lola?
There is no sugarcoating it. This week has been filled with its fair share of struggles. A beloved member of Martin's extended family, he was a son, a father, a husband, a brother, a friend, unexpectedly passed away. We found out he was on life support, and within 24 hours of processing what that meant, we learned that he had died. Mm-hmm. We are all grieving, and that process is an emotional, physical, and spiritual one that has filled us with a range of complex and complicated emotions. And then, this past week, my brother and his family went to an outdoor performance of Christmas carols at a cathedral in New York. And at the end of the performance, a gunman opened fire.
My goodness.
Yeah. Thank God the New York Police Department captured the gunman before he inflicted physical harm on anyone. But the experience was very traumatic. My heart really breaks that we live in a country where that story will not make national news because we are so desensitized to gun violence and to the notion that a place of worship is a place where someone could seek to inflict harm. And then my heart also breaks for my brother and my sister-in-law, who are understandably shaken by this, and for my nephew, who is old enough to understand that something really frightening happened. Yeah. You know, Martin and I have spent a lot of time talking about this, and it's just all too much. It's one more conversation we have to think about talking about with our children, because we don't live in a world where, as Martin shared with me, children can just be afraid of things like the dark. And I'm reminded of the fact that I work in a place where we have to get briefed on how to respond in the event of an active shooter. And it just feels like we're just broken.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a difficult time. But in the spirit of moving forward, let's talk about recovering from not so great mama moments when we lose it. You know, we've all been there. when we feel all the feels and it's intense. Some of us are there right now, sitting in that moment. But how do we recover from those moments?
When my teenagers were around 4 and 6 years old, I had to take them clothes shopping with me. And, you know, if memory serves me right, I didn't want to bring them with me because I really just like to shop at my own pace without having to worry about anyone else but me.
Yep.
As if finding plus size clothes without Paisley wasn't hard enough, my children decided it was the perfect time for them to act a plum fool in the store.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, of course, always. Kaylin was my youngest at the time, and she began to scream because she just didn't want to be in the cart any longer. So I moved her to the larger part of the cart, but of course that wasn't enough. I gave her my cell phone, and that wasn't enough either. So ultimately, I let her out. And from there, she and her sister ran me in complete circles around that whole store. And I had had enough of trying to be civil. So I scooped Kaylin up and put her back in the car. And she began to scream and scream.
Oh, no.
And then this woman walks by and she gives me an annoyed look. And that just pushed me over the edge. So I yelled at her. I said, if you think you can do it better, you can have them. And she just sort of looked at me all surprised. And honey, I don't think I've ever seen a little old lady move that fast. So I ultimately sat down and let myself have a moment in one of those large family size fitting rooms and waddled in my shame a little bit. But it came to me that I needed to fix some things. I had to explain to Kennedy that you know, I lost my temper because I didn't prepare myself for my mommy duties and that I didn't really want to give her away because that was the part that really stuck with her. She thought I wanted to give her away to that lady. And I also had to apologize for saying something so mean and for being rude to a stranger because I literally could have ignored her and let her go on her merry way. I realized I made a few errors that day. The first thing I realized is that I shouldn't go shopping with the kids if I'm annoyed before I even walk out the door. I mean, it's not worth it and it'll just set the wrong tone for the day.
That's so true.
Yeah. And yeah. So if you start it off bad, then it's going to end bad, right?
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing, one of the other things was that I shouldn't expect my kids to do anything other than what they typically do at their age. I mean, let's be real. I have never birthed a calm child ever. It's just not possible. So why would I expect them to suddenly be calm in a store? A scenery change doesn't necessarily equate an attitude or personality change. So, you know, what was wrong with me? Why was I expecting them to want to sit in a cart for a couple of hours? Thing number three was that, you know, while the rude lady may have deserved my attitude, my children didn't. I want to be mindful of what I say and how I say things to other people because my girls are watching me. And they understand more than I might think. Mm-hmm. And thing number four, when we do wrong, our kids deserve apologies. I know sometimes we do things we feel are justified, but our children need to see us making things right. And in my opinion, it's one of those essential things you teach them early.
Yeah.
Number five, and most importantly, give yourself time to breathe. My moment in that fitting room gave me the opportunity to calm down, reset. It allowed me to take back control of my emotions and get myself to a place where I can figure out the next steps and move along in some semblance of peace. And sometimes stepping back from a situation and grabbing a small moment of peace for yourself is all you need to get back on track.
Yeah, those are all really good pointers. And who hasn't been there before, right? Where you are trying to do something and you start off already expecting it to go badly. And I have a friend of mine, she's a mom and a grandmother at this point. And she shared with me that once you have that kind of energy, you are essentially manifesting it to happen, right? It's like watching your child do something and it's like, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. Yeah, your child is going to get hurt because you just keep thinking about that.
Right, you know, that's why you're going to drop. Being directed.
Exactly. And they're probably feeling that energy as well, right? Like they're feeling that nervous energy coming from you. So I couldn't agree more with your pointers. And I think they're so spot on. When I was thinking about this episode, I struggled to remember some of the moments when I've been incredibly angry with Martin. Mm-hmm. And it's not that the moments don't happen, because believe me, they do. But it's just that I remember how I felt at the time more than I remember the particular issues that we fought over. But friends, I do have evidence of said arguments, because one of the tools that I use to help me navigate my feelings is to journal. So I'm not someone who actively journals, but when I have a bee in my bonnet, I try and walk away before I say something that I will undoubtedly regret. And instead, I whip out my iPhone and start drafting the narrative, because I figure if nothing else, I am going to write a best-selling novel about our drama. I literally have a running note on my phone called Book Notes, and it's a distilled version of my arguments that I will type and revise. And then after a while, I'll just delete it, because what it really comes down to is something so much smaller than what I think I am arguing about. And what I have found is that when I put pen to paper, or in my case, when I start typing, I articulate my feelings more clearly and the underlying issue comes to light. So it's not really about Martin turning off the heat in the dead of winter because he likes to be cold and snuggle under our blankets. And meanwhile, my teeth are chattering, right? The reason I am mad about that, and let me be clear, this is not a hypothetical situation. Anyhow, it's not about the temperature we set for the house. It's deeper. It's about us working together to create an environment where we both thrive rather than test our wills, where the winner takes all. So journaling has saved me from some really bad moments. And I know this for a fact because in my, let's just call them my less enlightened days, when I wasn't about this love and light life, I was the type of person who would slice and dice with my words quickly if I felt that I had been aggrieved. And looking back, I am absolutely mortified by the hurtful things I have said to people who I love really deeply, including Martin. And the problem, of course, is that when I was in the thick of it, I couldn't get out of my feelings and I would refuse to recant because I considered myself honest, right? It's like, I'm just being honest. I'm telling you the truth. This is how it is. But honesty without compassion is brutality. So I would just dig myself into a space where now the fight is no longer about, say, hey, you gave our daughter your iPhone to play with for 15 minutes before her bedtime, but it becomes about something so much bigger, like the way that you responded to the argument. It's all just too much, too much. So take it from me, journal your feelings to untangle yourself from a messy situation. And as a bonus, you've got a great outline for your best-selling book.
You are so clever. I love that you're using journaling to get to the root of the problem. It's always best to hop off what Xavier and I call the crazy train and get right to the head of the issue. It certainly helps you get through certain issues more efficiently. Yeah. And that's always helpful, because Xavier and I have, you know, we've had some moments where we started arguing about one thing, or it could even start out as just a discussion. Right. A heated discussion. And then And it ends in the hurt feelings and Stormy out and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, if you can get to the bottom of it quickly, I'm for it. You know, I remember a time when Xavier and I were just going through this rough spot with relating with and to each other in kindness. We were both new to marriage, had two children, had a ton of baggage, and we really weren't being just nice to each other.
Yeah.
He had taken it upon himself to be my personal critic. And we all know that all spice and no sugar leads to disaster in relationships. You know, it breeds resentment, so on and so forth. And I was the perfect petri dish for that at the time. I was driving us home from church one day, and Xavier said, "You're really killing the brakes."
Oop.
And this made me so mad for some reason. Like, it pushed me. I mean, it tilted me right on over the edge. So, you know, the way I do, I let my crazy totally hang out. And with kids in the back seat to observe, I let down the window on this really chilly winter day and yelled to the car next to us, "I'm killing the brakes, y'all. I'm killing the brakes." I rolled the window back up, pretending nothing happened, and the entire car was silent. Okay. And next thing you know, Xavier and I are laughing so hard we could not breathe. I mean, we were literally belly laughing. And I think we all know that my reaction to his comment on my driving wasn't really because of what he said. It was a culmination of things. And because I let go, I think it opened him up to conversation about what was really going on. And I think allowing myself to laugh at my own dramatics with him softened me to him again and allowed us to have some real dialogue later that day. I believe it was one of the first times we had a civil conversation about a really sore spot with me, without me being super sensitive and him being really defensive. The laughter opened us up for real dialogue, and I'm grateful for it. I hate I had to be a little crazy about it, but I'm glad we laughed and worked through it. My point really is this: your absolute bonkers moment can be used to your advantage if you can find the humor in it.
I relate to that so much because there are times when Martin and I will have an argument and then I essentially say, okay, I'm not talking about this anymore. We need to just stop because someone's going to say something really mean or hurtful, or we're going to continue talking in a way that's unkind in front of our child. And we certainly don't want to set that kind of example. And then we just start, like, it's quiet and we have a staring contest. You know, and then Martin is like all hard and solid. And he just looks like, okay, I'm just going to low-key thug it over here. It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I'm over here. I have this look on my face. Like, it's, you have to just see it. Like, I just ate a sour, you know, apple or something. Just, and eventually, one of us just starts laughing because we look ridiculous. We just do.
I'm gonna see if Xavier join me in a staring contest. Let's see who can make the other laugh first.
It is one of the benefits of saying, okay, we're not, you know, let's shut this down before it goes south, is that really you just end up looking at each other. We've had some really fun moments that have just helped us to just break the ice once you start laughing, because it's just really hard to take someone seriously when they just are so upset that they look, you know, it's just that look. It's almost, it's just comical. Yeah. We both look so comical.
It's that mad look, yeah.
Right. Like, okay, really? We're really going to be this mad that, like, one of us had the last bag of chips and didn't replace it on the grocery run? It's like, this is not worth it. Like, we're just...
Right? It's always not. The dumbest things that cause the largest arguments. It's just...
100%. So, story time. Martin and I have been married for a little under 5 years, which means I still consider myself relatively new to his parents. And mm-hmm. that feeling is heightened because we don't live close to his mom and dad. I think had we lived close to one another, I wouldn't have considered having in-laws as much as a novelty as I still do. Mm-hmm. But that has also meant that learning one another is harder because there are cues that we all miss out on when we're not around each other as much as we'd like to be. Now that I've set the stage, let me get into the story. It is a good one, okay? It is okay. What I like to call the baby dedication scandal. So dramatic. It's ridiculous. I am going to spare everyone the gory details and simply say that thanks to a series of unfortunate miscommunications, including on me and Martin's part, Martin's mom planned Mila's baby dedication to take place when we visited them for Christmas. And when I tell you, I lost it when I found out. That is an understatement. And in fact, the feelings, oh gosh, I can just, you know, just thinking about it, I'm like, oh Lord, okay. Let me just be clear before someone comes to me and say that a baby can't be too blessed. Please understand that Mila is my first child. Mm-hmm. I wanted to plan her baby dedication ceremony at our church with both of our families in attendance. And instead, here we were about to do this without my side of the family, with a pastor and church that I had no connection to. So I was angry. Like, if you let this feeling take over your spirit, we will not recover from this moment. Like, ever.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was so bad. It was so, so bad. So here's the thing, right? We have all had moments when we are all in our feelings with people who we love dearly and are close to, right? AKA extended family. And in my case, specifically, my in-laws or my mother-in-law. But what helped me to recover from that moment was to ask myself sincerely, if I stay in my feelings, what does that world look like? Do I really want to live in a world where so many meaningful relationships are fractured because of a baby dedication? You know, right. I want to have a solid relationship with my mother-in-law. I want my daughter to have a solid relationship with her too. I want my husband to continue to nurture his solid relationship with her. So we are going to talk about this. And let me be clear, I should have journaled first, but we talked about it and figured out a way to move forward. And then this is the hard part. I had to let go. And I know I just said like, oh, the feelings, but really, I really had to let it go because if not, it was going to continue to be a thing that was sort of like the perfect layer to another issue and then another issue. And like you were talking about, all this resentment would build up. The thing that really, really, really helped me get over the moment and really understand what forgiveness was a quote that I read that forgiveness is letting go of the thought that the past could have been any different.
Yes.
Yeah. Like that is something I carry with me all the time. And that was absolutely the case here. We both contributed to this messy situation, but we were going to move forward knowing better and doing better. And I have seen some downright awful things go down with other relationships in my family. But when I think about it, you know, when I really, really think about it, and I think about how special every single member of my family is, I really want to ask myself, like, do you want to miss out on those relationships? Do you want to miss out on, you know, your grandmother's special recipe for chapati and, you know, like your auntie's financial savvy or your uncle's tech savvy? There are so many things that all these family members bring to the table. And, you know, these relationships are about so much more than these moments, right? So you get the point. I learned to forgive and to move forward.
I think the people who have the most power to hurt you are those who hold your heart in some way. So it's only natural that some of your first lessons in forgiveness are going to be with someone you love. So that just makes perfect sense to me.
Well said.
Thank you. This reminds me of my relationship with my own mom. I've made no secret of the fact that I had a rough go of it in my childhood. And I remember feeling so disappointed in my mother because of some of her life choices and how they did a disservice to my brother, sister, and me. When I was little, my mom wasn't around because she was struggling with addiction. She missed all the firsts, you know, my first period. So I had to tell my stepdad about it, and he made it terrifying and totally contradicted everything she taught me beforehand. She missed my prom. She missed my first time doing my sister's hair, which I was so proud of. She missed my high school award ceremony where I sang opera for the first time, on and on and on. All those firsts that kids have. And it always hurt me that she was in and out of my life, and that I had to depend on people who were not related to me in any way to take care of me, because my very own mother couldn't love me more than she loved her addiction. And this left me seeking attention from everyone, and it didn't always turn out in my favor. However, now that I'm an adult and I understand addiction more, I know that it had a grip on her, and she actually did do the best she could by us, considering her own demons. I mean, she had a history too. But you know what? I learned what true forgiveness looks and feels like in my relationship with her. And while I wouldn't want to repeat any of those things I experienced as a child, I'm okay with how they have turned out. My mom has an amazing testimony as a result of all the things she's endured in her own life. And, you know, she's resourceful, tenacious, loving, and she's imperfect. And I get that. But because of her mistakes, I am who I am now, a woman who is quick to forgive, to speak her mind, to love hard, and to take chances. I am better for her mistakes. I'm telling you all of this to say forgiveness is not just for the other person. It's also for you. And when you let go of hurt, it presents you with an opportunity to reconcile situations that seem like they'll weigh you down forever. And on the other side of a tough situation, you'll be surprised at how light you feel and how much that relationship can blossom into something, you know, you really hold dear.
Wow, that is deep, Shannon. First, I want to say that I'm so sorry you experienced that hurt. But on the other side, I find so much hope in your story because of what you shared, that by learning to forgive and to really recognize that all of these things that happened in your life made you into the brilliant and wonderful woman that you are, you've taken something that was so hurtful and processed it into something that really has just made you a better person. And I can't help but think about what I've heard so many people say, and it really just didn't quite click until I heard you tell your story, that the wound may not be your fault, but recovering from it and getting better is your responsibility.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've heard people say it in different contexts, but to hear how you shared this is really, really powerful. And I'm so glad that your mom is on the other side of this battle because, you know, yeah, as you shared, I mean, these are things that affect people and they're obviously dealing with their own demons and none of us are perfect. So I'm just so happy that you're in a place where both of you can blossom and thrive in your relationship. Going back to something that you had said earlier about good mom, bad choices moments, I've definitely had that with Mila, where, for example, she has done something in a way that I don't like. The title of this episode, like low-key losing it, is about these moments for me where it's like, What is wrong with you? Like, why are you yelling at your child for being a child? Over Thanksgiving, for example, I set the table and had candlesticks. So let me just say, yes, I know. What was I thinking? I totally started something and went against my don't start none, won't be none parenting philosophy. And then to add, you know, sort of insult to injury, right? Mila didn't get a nap that day because we had been busy cooking. We went for a hike. We just did all these things. So lo and behold, she starts blowing the candles when they're lit. And I get it. I figured that would happen. I remember when I bought the candles, I thought to myself, you're going to be at a table with three children. You fool. This is what children under five will want to do. But no, yes. I had to have my moment. I had to have my Pinterest pin worthy table setting. So after having my moment, I snapped some photographs. I removed the candles and the candlesticks from the table. And she left the table to follow those candles and candlesticks. And she started playing with them. They were drums. They were, I don't know. I mean, you name it. They did everything. And eventually, I just lost it. Like, girl, we are in the middle of dinner. And I just yelled at Mila and then tried to justify why I yelled at her. And, you know, I can laugh about it a little bit now, but looking back, it's like, are you serious? Why? Yeah. Why did you set yourself up that way? Talk about, you know, your earlier points, right? Like managing expectations. Don't go into something knowing you're about to step into a mess. You are literally willing your child mentally to do something. Of course they're going to do it. It was a perfect storm. So my solution here was to take five, and I sat down with her separately and apologized for my behavior, because even though, as you pointed out, even though I am the adult slash parent, we do make mistakes. And in fact, it is precisely because I am the adult and parent in the room, and precisely because I know better, that I have to remedy the situation and say, I'm really sorry for yelling at you at the table. That was completely inappropriate. Mommy was overwhelmed and it shouldn't happen. That is not the right way to respond.
Oh, yes, we've all had those moments when we've had a come apart over something so trivial, you know, just teeny tiniest things. And if it's any comfort, my teenagers seem to find joy in those moments now, you know, so I guess it's proof that the kids are all right, y'all. They aight.
It's so true, because my daughter is so perceptive. She can see the shift in my face when I start to have a, okay, no, we're not going to do this. And she'll tell me, you're mad, mama, you're mad.
And it's like, she's doing so good.
She gets it and she calls me out and I'm like, I'm not mad. No, I'm not. Don't say that. Wait, okay, fine, Mila. I am a little mad. But how can I stay mad at you? You're so stinking cute, you know? And so we have that moment. But she totally makes a game out of it and laughs because she can sense that change, you know, where it's like, okay, you're fussing. What's going on, mama? You know?
Right, right. Can we get through this?
Well, I don't have a story for this one, but I do think it bears mentioning. So I have come across several articles this year that, with the pandemic taking a toll on parents and mothers in particular, alcohol consumption rates are increasing at an alarming rate. So just to be clear, this is not a PSA. But when we're talking about recovering from not so great moments, what all our advice has in common is that we are not numbing the pain with wine, food, television, Instagram rabbit holes. We are trying the best we can to process those feelings. And, you know, I just want to say, because I think we've talked about it from time to time in various episodes, if it helps to talk to someone else, especially a licensed professional, then please do so.
Yes.
With that, let's turn to our Bit of Bliss segment. This is where we share something that has brought us some joy. So if you don't mind, Shannon, I'd like to go first since my recommendation this week is relatively short.
Yes, yes. Go ahead.
All right. So let's just bow down because Mariah Carey is the undisputed queen of Christmas. And her special on Apple TV, Mariah Carey's Magical Christmas Special, is so stinking perfect. It is glorious. It's got these fun diva moments, like literally Santa calls Mariah Carey to help spread Christmas cheer because we've had quite a year. And let me tell you, I practically hollered because the way that Mariah answers the call from Santa, the way she holds her ruby encrusted phone is a moment. In fact, I think I've already seen some memes about the eleganza that is Mariah Carey answering the phone, darlings. I mean, it's just so perfect. We have adorable references to classics like A Charlie Brown Christmas, A Cheesy Elf, a Misty Copeland cameo. I mean, come on. My heart can only take so much goodness. So in a week of sadness, this really lifted my spirits. So my recommendation is grab your snacks, bless your ears, and watch her slay. Pun totally intended, darlings. It's so good. It's so, so good. Shannon, what's brought you some bliss this week?
I feel like if I knew Mariah Carey, we would be like kindred spirits. I want to be that extra when I grow up. I really do. I totally have the capacity for it. Well, this week's bliss is actually simple for me, too.
Oh.
About 2 months ago, I ran across a company that brought back so much nostalgia for me. It's the company called Tye. They used to be known primarily for those little mini stuffed animals called Beanie Babies. Do you remember those?
Yes.
So now they sell the cutest masks for children. I ordered one of the school mask bundles to try them out, and they are honestly Karina's absolute favorite. And I like them because they look breathable and they have the adjustable stops on the ear loops that can't come off. So the little stops don't get lost and you end up not having anything to adjust the ears with. So they've made it where those little things stay on.
Mm-hmm.
And Karina likes them because they are bright and have little animal faces on them. They've washed so well so far, and they have the adjustable nose tab so you can get a good snug fit to their little faces. And they're just overall really cute. So if you're looking for super adorable kids masks that are durable and colorful and fun, I recommend you check them out.
That is fantastic. As always, Shannon, I love your recommendations and I'm definitely going to check them out because so far the struggle has been very real. And that's our episode.
Be sure to visit our website at www.babiesbalanceandbliss.com and follow us on Instagram at Babies Balance and Bliss. That's one word, Babies Balance A-N-D Bliss. We will catch up again next Thursday. Love and light.